Lord Jesus, the key to understanding your love for us. That's what we seek. The reason that you saved us. The very purpose for our lives. God, if it's true, and I certainly believe it is, that each one of us have a very specific purpose on why you created us and why you called us to your kingdom. God, help us to figure that out, to walk in the fullness of the purpose that you formed us. And I do pray for anybody that's here that does not know that, who think they've wasted their calling, who thinks that they don't even know why. God, I pray, give them purpose today. Show them the power of your love, greater than any atom bomb, the power of your love. We ask this in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Originally, I was going to do the 10th and 11th chapter of the book of 2 Corinthians, and something happened yesterday that changed the whole premise of what I was going to teach. And I know that it is for all of us here, myself included. So if you will read from, I will read to you, follow along, chapter 10, verse 1. Now I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. Please give me your attention. Let me explain to you what he's saying and why he says the next thing that he says. It's kind of a weird thing. If you are like me, you often communicate in a few different ways. Generally speaking, I think people are sick and tired of electronic communications because you really never get out what you think you're getting out. Here's what I mean. Me and my wife argue a lot better over text than we do in person. If I text her, baby, I love you, have a great day, or whatever it is, oh, I get a heart and an emoji. Problem is, I can't see emojis. I look at it, and I always have to say next to somebody, what does that emoji mean? Like, there's one of them that the face is like this. I don't know what that means. And somebody, oh, well, that's like bewilderment. Like, I don't know what that means. Now, if you're sitting there, you might like, but Ryan, you sound like you're contradicting yourself. I am. Some things we do much better electronically, like arguing. She goes, and then I go, and then she goes, and then I go, and then she goes, and I. It's great. But when we're in person, we argue. We're constantly interrupting each other, talking over each other. She's usually answering my question before I finished asking it. Or what does this have to do with what we're studying? Well, Paul had this problem. When he went and started the church in Corinth, well, I got to interrupt myself a second. Anthony, come here, bro. You left us at the gym yesterday. I didn't know if it was important to you. I waited all day to see you. So he went and he starts the church, and when he's with them, he's really meek and mild and humble, just a hardworking, nose to the grindstone type of guy. But then he sends him the first letter to the church in Corinth, 1 Corinthians, and he's kind of coming down on him. Don't do this and do that. And that's why he spent a couple of chapters actually apologizing for being so rough. If you were here last week, you remember. But then he kind of switches subjects really, almost like downshifting from fourth gear right down to first or second. It's like a snap back in place. And he says, you know, the outside might look gruff. Does anybody ever know anybody who on the outside they look like a real tough guy, but usually it's the wife that says, oh, he's just a big teddy bear. It's the funniest thing how the people in life who you think would be the most able to handle criticism, able to handle correction, they're the most sensitive little puppy dogs. Like they could probably knock a wall down with a right hand, but if you tell them to stop talking so much, like, oh, how dare you, what do you call it, pearl clutch. Oh. Like, do you know how many tough guys have come to this church?
No, I like the way you teach, Ryan. I like it, man, you're straightforward, you're this, that, and the other thing. I said, yeah, that's cool, because I talked to your wife, and she said something about you watching porn a lot, so why don't you cut the crap? I'm never coming back to this church. I can't believe he said that.
I see. Got it. Here's your dress. I'm jesting, but I'm being serious. And this is what the problem that Paul had. And he says, you know, there is something else. And here's where he talks about it. Verse 3. I probably should put on my glasses. I would see verse 3. Huh, look at that. Verse 2. But I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with the confidence by which I intend to be bold against some who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh, for here we go. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Now, I could spend about the next 6 weeks studying that verse. Here, he tells exactly what I was trying to paint the picture of. It don't matter what you walk in the flesh. Although you walk in the flesh, and some are meek, and some are mild, and some are tough, and some are strong, and some are sensitive, and some are insensitive, and some are sensitively insensitive. He said, there is a weapon that you have. There is a warfare that you wage. There is a way that you keep on keeping on, so to speak. One of the most famous verses in the entire Bible, one of my personal favorites. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. For pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. He said, I know that you think when I was there I was like weak, and then I wrote you like a tough guy letter to try to correct you. He said, now, I really don't want to go there and be a tough guy and straighten things out, but don't think that I can't. But here's what's more important. The real warfare, the real problem, the real solution. You ready? It's prayer. It's prayer. Now, I'm going to do a test, and I don't want you guys to answer. I want you to answer in your head. How many of you guys believe in the power of prayer? Don't answer. How many of you guys believe that by praying every day, you could change the course of history? You could change the course of somebody else's history. Pardon me. You could change the course of somebody else's history. You could change the course of your children's lives. How many of you believe that? Don't answer. Because the next question I'm going to ask is, how many of you couples pray together every single day? How many days have you let go without praying? How long have you labored in prayer for your child, for your marriage, for your brother, for your sister, for your aunt, uncle, whatever? If you really believe in the power of prayer, we arm ourselves with a weaponry of the flesh, even of the mind. Do you know how many people ask me about Jehovah's Witnesses? Oh man, these Jehovah's Witnesses knocked on my door. I said, oh man, that's happens to all of us, man. These people, they're. He says, yeah, but, man, I want you to tell me what verse I can give them. I said, listen, you're not going to know their Bible better than them, and chances are, knowing you, they know your Bible better than you. Why don't you pray for them? Prayer will break down every stronghold. Why do we find that prayer is the last thing we revert to? Well, I guess I'll just have to pray. Yeah, let's pray. But the question then asks is two. One, what is prayer? Two, how do you pray? Let me first convince you of something else. The Bible says in more than 300 places the word pray, prayer, praying, prayer, whatever version of prayer, over 300 times that word exists in Scripture. The Bible actually says that the Lord Jesus was the great intercessor. If he prayed, we must pray. For the very reason Christ died was so that we can pray directly to the Father. And as said, the veil of the temple was rent or torn asunder from top to bottom. One of the things that the Lord Jesus wrote in the book of Revelation was that he hated the work of the Nicolaitans. The Nicolaitans were priests who told the people, if you want to go to God, you got to go through me. Problem I had with the Catholic Church growing up and then getting saved and realizing, well, my uncle Joe died some years ago, more than 25 years, and my daughter Elena at the time was about 9 or 10. You remember, honey? And we had his service. He was kind of Catholic, I guess you'd call it. And we went to the church, and my daughter, being my daughter, was a little bit bold, and she went to the priest and said, I want a Bible. And he said, what? Well, if we're in church, I want a Bible. And he's like, well, I have a Bible in the back. It's like, Daddy, I don't understand why I don't have a Bible in church. I'm like, I'm not going to get into you with catechism versus Christianity and all that stuff, but some churches do not believe that people should read the Bible. Like, what? This is the power of prayer. The power to access directly to God without any wall of separation. You don't need me to pray for you, although, according to Scripture, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and avails much. I don't have a righteous man for you. I'll do. Or should I say I'm righteous because of the blood of Christ? But the truth of the matter is, if you want to be honest, if you know somebody who's walking with the Lord and they're serious about prayer, you want that person to pray for you. That's the girl. That's the woman I want. I think we talked about this. I don't know if it was you guys or the men's study. Everything becomes a blur. There was a story sometime in the future. A man dies and he gets to heaven and he sees a house. And he goes, man, whose house is that? Says, oh, that's Billy Graham's house. Billy Graham, wow. And then he sees another house. He goes, whose house is that? Oh, that's Derek Prince's house. Oh, my goodness. And then he sees a giant mansion. He goes, whose mansion is that? Oh, that's Betty Smith. Betty, who? Betty Smith. Oh, that woman sat in the same church for 30 years and sat in the back and prayed for everybody that came in for 30 years. And that's how God rewarded her. It's the people who don't get the accolades, the recognition. It's the people who pray for us. Even now I could see I'm losing some of you guys. You're like, man, is this whole service going to be about prayer? The whole service. As a matter of fact, we're going to probably, as long as I want, I don't know how long I'm going to talk, we're going to probably pray for about 15 or 20 minutes together too. Isn't that going to stink? Because I get that question all the time, especially from new believers. I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to pray for. My father, being also, again, like most Catholics I grew up with, my father considered himself Roman Catholic, but never went to church. I mean, I went to church on Christmas and some Easters, if I was forced to. But I really consider myself Catholic. I wouldn't go to that Christian church. I was invited to this warehouse church in Fort Lauderdale. I'm not going. I'm Catholic. Yeah, where do you go to church? I'm Catholic. Same thing Jewish people say. Hey, why don't you come out to church with me or something like that? I'm Jewish. Oh, yeah, where do you go to the temple? I'm Jewish. Got that. Let me read you guys a few things. If I can't convince you about the power of prayer, maybe the scriptures can. Luke 11:1. Now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of the disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. You notice there's a word missing there? He didn't say teach us how to pray. He said teach us to pray. What does that mean? Well, show of hands, how many of you guys are sitting here right now and life is just freaking sensational, man? Everything's just going exactly the way you wanted it to. Put your hand down, Drew. I know your wife. Waited 33 years to marry the most beautiful, amazing, terrific, sensational woman in the world, and now she's pregnant with his child. Well, I'd be happy too. We'll see if that hand keeps coming up about 2 weeks after that baby's born. Like Elena and Austin called us up. The baby was about 4 or 5 weeks old. Can we come over for a few days and get some sleep? Come on. So that was the point is, believe me, God might not teach you how to pray, but by his sovereign hand, he's going to teach you to pray. It's been well said. God won't give you enough to break your back, but you believe he's going to give you enough to bend your knee. Everything that is heavy is best lifted by bending your knees. A Psalm of David, Psalm 63:1. When he was in the wilderness of Judah, O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. When is the best time to pray? In the morning. Lord Jesus often got up before it was even light and went on the mountain to pray. David sought God early. Probably 20 times in Scripture it says, I will seek you early. Early I will find you before the sun comes up. Isaiah 26:9, with my soul I have desired you in the night. Yes, by my spirit within me I will seek you early. For when your judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. One of the funniest things I learned as a young Christian is that God had called me into a ministry that I didn't think I was ready for, and I didn't even know I understood it. Kurt figured it out some years ago. It's called intercession. When you just have a burden for people and you don't even know what it is, and your house is filled with pads with people's names on it, index cards with people's names on it, business cards that people always, can you pray for me? And it's a burden. And you wake up in the morning, and he's like, God, I want to pray for Billy Joe Jim Bob that he comes to know you and he gets healed. And then all of a sudden, the craziest thing happens. God starts to wake you up at 3, 4 in the morning, and you're like, you turn the TV on. Well, this day and age, you check your emails, of course, your Facebook status, you're on there, and you're like, man, I wish I can go to sleep. Listen, I have the melatonin, spiritual melatonin for you. You ready? Start to pray. Believe me, God woke you up. The enemy will put you back to sleep as soon as you start praying for people. Have a pad and decide, say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start praying for salvations. Every time God wakes me up, I'm going to pray. So you get up and you're like, oh, this again. You grab that pad and you start reading it. Watch how the craziest thing happens. You, after a few days, you ain't going to get up in the middle of the night no more. You're going to have to start setting your clock for a half hour early, because all those people that you've been praying for, they still need prayer, and you're realizing you're not praying for them anymore. Matthew 14 and 23, and when he has sent the multitude away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. Now, the time that you spend in prayer is like going to the gym. Nobody goes to the gym, slaps a couple of Cadillacs on the bar and starts popping it. Nobody does that. You got to start with just the bar. Just the bar. Do you believe that prayer can save your marriage? Now, listen, I know, because I'm the pastor here, that you want to sit down and you want to talk to me and you want me to tell you the secret to being married for 30 years and all this other stuff. And I usually get a really bad response when I say, the secret to prayer is secret prayer. The secret to success is secret prayer. I don't have any answers for you. You ask my wife, she'll say my husband's crazy. You ask me, I'm telling you my wife's crazy. But we pray. And I know that you all have problems and marriage is tough. And you want to go to a counselor. And you want to go to a counselor that has a toilet paper on the wall that said graduated from this, that, and the other thing. I know that. You want the sheet of paper that says this guy can fix me. But here's the problem. You're going to a counselor, a psychotherapist, a psychoanalyst, a psychiatrist who probably can't fix their own life. They've been divorced two or three times, but they certainly can tell you. Now, I also want to ask you a question. How much you paying that guy? $100 an hour? More? Now, what would be the reason that he wouldn't want you to stop coming back to him? Interesting study done at Harvard. You'll love this one. They did this thing. Now, I'm going to probably screw it up trying to remember the numbers, but bear with me. It's close to it. They took 100 people. My bad. They took 1,000 people who needed to go to a psychiatrist. And out of the 1,000 people that went to a psychiatrist, 60% of them, after a year, still needed to go to a psychiatrist. But then they took 1,000 people who needed to go to a psychiatrist who never went. 40% of them still said they wanted to go to a psychiatrist. So somehow, 60% of that 1,000 people, after a year of going nowhere, didn't need a psychiatrist anymore. More people got healed, saved, freed, whatever, doing nothing! Pray. It doesn't have to be for a half hour. Father God, please bless my wife's day. I don't know. You know, you're new and you're like, man, I hear that guy pray and he just, you know, he says all these things. He comes up with all these angles and these words in the Bible. That means nothing to God. God is so unimpressed with my prayer. He sits up in heaven and goes, oh, that was just beautiful, Ryan. How about your heart next time, huh? How about stop being a robot and being so repetitive? I got an idea, Ryan. Why don't you think of some new verses to pray? Sorry, God, I know, son, but open your heart a little more. So much better is the heart that just says, God, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. How blessed is that prayer to God. God, save my marriage. God, rescue my child. God, save this. God, what a prayer, and believe it or not, according to the Lord Jesus, who stood outside of a cemetery and looked at a tomb, and before he raised the man from the dead, he sent this little tidbit out to us. He And he said, before I raise this, I'm paraphrasing, he says, before I raise this guy from the dead, I want to say, God, thank you that you always hear my prayer. Always. And as a matter of fact, you know, there's one prayer that God always says yes to. Do you guys know this one? You guys that go to this church know this one. God always says yes to one prayer. Will you forgive me? And how blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven. How blessed is the man whose sin is covered. How blessed is that man who knows when he lays his head down at night. When I say man, I also mean woman. Who knows? God has got me. Matthew 14 and 23. I'm sorry, I said that one. Mark 6, 46. And when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. Luke 6 and 12. Now it came to pass in those days he went out in the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Luke 9, 28. Now it came to pass about 8 days after these things that he took Peter, John, and James and went up on the mountain to pray. 1 Timothy 2, 8, I desire therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Romans 8 and 26, likewise the Spirit helps in our weaknesses. For we don't know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Oh, the best prayer is that. The Lord says, I got that one. I know that one well. I sweat blood. Watch, therefore, and pray, Luke 21, 36, that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Luke 18, 1, then he spoke a parable to them that men ought to always pray and not lose heart. Luke 11 and 2, so he said to them, when you pray, notice he didn't say if you pray, when you pray, say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, so forth and so on. Luke 6, 28, bless those who curse you. And ready? Pray for those who spitefully use you. Yeah, I'm right on that one. Matthew 26 and 41, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. I've often said this. I find the ability to know how close I am to the Spirit is about the same time it takes me to ask God to forgive me for my sin. I could be walking lockstep with God, and I see something that pulls my eye, I think something that pulls my thought, and immediately it's like, Lord, that was silly, I'm sorry. But I get into business, I get into work, I get into the gym, and it seems like either the Spirit's lagging behind or I'm running forward. I don't know what it is. And all of a sudden, I start to enjoy my sin a little bit. And I'm like, yeah, man, that's all right. Yeah, okay, yeah, you know what I mean. And then all of a sudden, I sit in my car, and like the Spirit catches up and sits in my car with me. How's it going? This is what he looks at me. He goes, yeah, I got away from myself again, didn't I? No, you got away from me, Ryan. Did it again. Just so want to walk lockstep every day, all day, but I just can't. I can't. Matthew 19 and 13. Then little children are brought to him that he might put his hands on them and pray. Prayed for kids. Sadly, I ask you, without asking for a question answered, how many of you guys let a day go by without praying for your kids? I'm trying to remember what age it is that I stopped praying for my kids. We used to have like these gigantic prayer meetings before we went to bed. Like every time my kids would go to bed and they were all in the same room, it was good. We'd sit there and we pray for grandma and we pray for papa and we pray for, you know, everybody pray. And then all of a sudden, like 11, I'm not, 12, 13-ish, like, don't forget to say your prayers. My TV show's on, you know. Like, something happens. I stopped somewhere. Like, you can't. Yeah, I know they got to have their own thing, but you know what I mean? Matthew 6 and 7. And when you pray, Do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they will be heard by their many words. It's kind of a rebuke to old Catholics who say Hail Mary and Our Father like 20 times. Here, say Hail Mary 10 times, say Our Father 5 times, and you are forgiven for watching pornography or cheating on your wife or beating somebody up. I like that deal. I can deal with that. Maybe Catholicism was, no. Nope. Matthew 6:5, when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, you got your reward. So I'm trying to tell you, I sit up here and I got these, oh, Father, thou art, and I give you these verses and you think, oh man, Ryan can really pray. Ryan prays, man. And the Lord probably looking down half my presence going, there's your reward. Everybody thinks you're so wonderful. That was a Fox News alert. I know that one. Boom! 1 Timothy 2:1, therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and the giving of thanks be made for all men. Yeah. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. Ladies, write this down. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. And you know what the assumption is? Well, of course you're praying together. How could you do marriage without prayer? Anybody want to give that a shot? Got a better idea? Let me know. How's that working? Me and my wife have a hate in our heart. I have to confess to you guys, we have a hate in our heart. We know certain couples, and they don't pray together, and they get along great, and I hate them. Because D.L. Moody said this, prayer is work, but it's blessed work. And it just seems like every time I know I'm supposed to pray with my wife, she says something that just P.O.'s me. And then I don't want to pray with her anymore. You know what? I'm not praying with you. Well, that really hurts me. That's just, and then I read this verse, and I'm going to get to heaven, and God's going to say, hey, I gave you that wife. And it says in the verse, it says in the Bible that you read hundreds of times, don't let your prayers be hindered. Why did you let your prayers be hindered? I don't know. I was mad. She made me mad. She made me peanut butter, and it was low-fat peanut butter, and I hate low-fat peanut butter. We had that argument one time. I'm confessing, okay? I like Skippy Creamy, and she got low-fat Skippy. What is that? Who eats peanut butter with no fat? Ridiculous. Come on, guys. Could you see God playing that? Hey, Ryan, I want you to come into the Blu-ray room for me. That's you. That's Skippy. Low fat. That's your attitude. And then he like shows like a picture of my heart. There's your filthy, wicked heart. And you didn't pray with your wife that day because you were mad at her for making your sandwich with low-fat peanut butter, huh? We're going to go to Africa and show that picture to say, no. Do you have any idea how much better your marriage would be if you prayed with each other every day? Do you have any idea? You guys know the levels of communication that you have not reached? I mean, if your marriage is just relinquished to, hi, how are you? Good. You have a good day? Fine. Terrific. If that's what it's... For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, 1 Peter chapter 3:12. 1 Peter 4:7, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. man, if I'm laying these verses on you and you guys are feeling like you've fallen short in places, welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. If you're not feeling bad right now, that's who I'm worried about. We all fall short, guys. We all fall short. Revelation 5 and 8. Now, when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. What? Okay, a little peek into the heavenlies. Prayer isn't just well wishes. It's not just positive energy. It's not just some semi-generic words spoken into the air that creates some. No. When you pray, now, posture of prayer doesn't matter. Like this, like this, like this, like this. It doesn't matter. It's the second that you connect to God. It doesn't matter what it looks like on the outside. It matters what's going on the inside. And remember, prayer is not vertical. It's horizontal. If you ever pray with those people, God, I pray that righteous will make me a peanut butter sandwich with Skippy high fat content. That's a horizontal prayer. The second you do, listen, dig this. An angel with some kind of invisible golden bowl scoops your words up, scoops them up, scoops them up, scoops them up, every one of them, and he brings it to the throne of God. And I don't know if he just kind of kicks it that way. You know, you don't want to get too close to the throne. And he says, four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense. Now, does anybody like incense in their house? My wife's doing these things now. She plugs these things into the wall, and there's liquid. There's two bottles of liquid in this thing. And every time I walk by, I think it's like, I love the smell of this hallway. That's your prayer to God. You pray, and it's incense, and God's, yeah, put that in a bowl, put that at the throne. Those are Ryan's prayers. Get that out. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Wow. That's Revelation 8:4. James 5 and 15. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Colossians 4:2. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Philippians 4:6, every woman's favorite verse, mine too. Be anxious for nothing, but that in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Romans 12:2, rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Acts 6:4, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word, so said the apostles. Luke 19:46, saying to them, it is written, my house is a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Oof, that's tough on a pastor, that word. So he said to them, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Matthew 21:22. James 5:16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. If you still have your Bible in front of you, please turn to the 11th chapter of the book of Luke, which is a few pages to the left. 11th chapter, the book of Luke. Tell me amen when you're there, please. Okay. So now you have the reasons why you are to pray. I've made it clear that for the sake of Christ's death, the reward is prayer. And to forsake that, to abandon that, to neglect that, how shall we repent? How shall we count the death of Christ, his ability that he gave us to enter the throne room? How shall we avoid being rebuked by God for that? We can't. So here's what we're going to do. We now have to learn how to pray. So we're going to spend a couple of minutes in prayer. Now, I will give you the wimp factor, and I will give you the sword. If you want the wimp factor, here it is. Think about the book of Acts. A-C-T-S. When my son was 11 or 12, he used to say to me, Dad, I won't know how to pray. I won't know how to pray. So, because he was a wee lad, I took a magic marker, and right next to his bed in the wall, I wrote A-C-T-S. Remember that, bub? And A stands for adoration. C stands for confession. T stands for thanksgiving. And S stands for supplications. And everybody has a, what's a supplication? That's the stuff you need. Supply. Think about supply, supplication. So if you have a card or something, you could write down an axe and you could say to yourself, okay, now when I start to pray, because I really want to commit that time to prayer, I'm going to just say axe. Okay. A, adoration. So adoration. God, I love you. You're the greatest. You're the best. I adore you. I dig you a lot. C, confession. God, I ain't got enough time to ask you to forgive me for all the stuff that I've been doing. Do you know about everything? I mean, you even know about that stuff? Yeah. Do you know about the stuff that happened before I got saved? Yeah, that's what I was afraid of. And you just spend time telling God how sorry you are. And then wait till tomorrow to finish it because you got to go to work at some point. T, thanksgiving. Spend some time with just an attitude of gratitude, as my pastor John Chanel used to say. Man, just, hey, God, thank you for my job. Man, thank you. Thank you for my amazing life. I breathe today. I put on boots today. I'm walking on two legs today. Thank you, God, for the food that I ate. Thank you for the trials that you put me through. And then last, S, supplication. My old man was really good. Again, I talked about him being Catholic. He used to always say, don't pray for me. I don't need nothing. When I pray, I never pray for myself. Yeah, but God, Dad, that's not what God says in the Word of God. Well, I don't want nobody praying for me. Well, I'm going to pray for you anyway. What do you think of that? It's because you're an idiot. That's why. I raised an idiot. Yeah, you did. I swear I looked in the mirror the other day and I saw my father and it scared the crap out of me. Does that happen a lot? And you guys, I'm 54. You guys that are older than me, is that the way it is from now on? You start to see your parents in your own face? Oh my goodness. How did this? Anyway, sorry. Now, I did say that was the wimp factor, right? Why did I say that was the wimp factor? Because that's the wimp factor. If you want to get serious, chapter 11, the book of Luke, gives us a layout. The Lord Jesus' very words are a backdrop, a painting, a virtual layout of not what to pray, but how to pray. I am going to ask Steve to turn down the center light, please. Just turn it off. We're going to spend some time together in prayer. Turn another one off. Turn that one off now. Perfect. Now, remember we talked about going to the gym and heavy lifting? Yesterday we did some sparring at the gym, and we had an amazing mixture of brothers in there. We had one brother who had a fight coming up, and he's been training. We had another brother who has really high level striking, and he's like at the top of his game. And then we had another kid who took some classes in striking. And to watch how one of them could go 3 minutes and still have plenty left, and the other one could go 3 minutes, but he was tired. And the one guy that said, man, he was done after a minute and a half. Totally understandable. It takes guts to get in the cage. We have a saying in the gym, which too many people don't believe, although it is the truth. We only got winners and learners, no losers in this place. Because the only people who step on the mat or step in a cage or step on a ring are already winners. Because 99% of the rest of the population won't even do that. Christian, I'm telling you the same thing. You want to step in this ring with us? I mean, I think the Bible tells us enough times is what we're supposed to do. It's going to take time. We're going to have a prayer meeting on Wednesday night. How many of you guys have been in a prayer meeting before? Man, it's 2 hours of prayer. Do you realize that it is our lightest attended service every single week, month? Less people show up to that than anything else. And I don't blame them. Man, it's hard work. I can be somewhat entertaining, although long-winded. Prayer, zero entertainment value. But you could always tell when somebody shows up when they ain't been there before. They got that. Like somebody just punched them in the gut look on their face. Could you pray for me? Absolutely can. Absolutely will. God's taught you how to pray, hasn't he? Yeah. He's good about that. Sorry. You know what I'm talking about? Some of you guys are only here for that. Some of you guys right now have no idea what you're doing here. Your life is just such a messed up place. And you just knew you had to get to church. It's the only thing. You're on your left. Your marriage is on the left. Your marriage is done. It's done. You understand? It's over. This is like our last hope. It's the same reason I went to church. Don't feel bad. Nobody called me and told me, guys. Well, some of you guys called me and told me. So, verse 1, chapter 11. Now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, the one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say. Now, the proper rendering of the interpretation is in like manner. Not to repeat verbatim, but to repeat in the heart. You with me? We are going to pray through this. I'm going to ask for help. If you can't hack it, I totally understand. I had a kid yesterday. It was done after 30 seconds. I got it. If you've never prayed before, you're not going to be able to go to sleep. We'll wake you up. It's not a big deal. You'll get stronger if you stay in the game. Well, what if we don't stay in the game? Remember we talked about Betty Smith? You won't be on her block. Will I still get to heaven? Yeah. You don't have to be a prayer warrior to get to heaven. All you need to do is be saved to get to heaven. But your marriage won't be blessed as it could be. The kids won't be protected as they could be. Or worse, here's worse, God will use somebody else, and he's calling to use you. Yeah, I know. You ready? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The first part of the prayer that God has us to do is to praise his name. So it says, hallowed be thy name. Somebody in here now, call out on the names of the Lord Jesus. The King of Kings, Prince of Peace, Redeemer, Everlasting Father, the Great I Am, Alpha and Omega, the Savior, the Branch, the Nazarite, did I hear? The Master. A man of sorrows. So the first thing I do in the morning when I wake up and roll out of bed, before I check my phone, I just start telling God his own names. God, your word says you're the Lord of hosts. Man, the enemy's been kicking my butt lately, God. And since you're the Lord of hosts, I need you to kick his butt for me. God, my life has been so full of turmoil, and your name is the Prince of Peace. And I just go through that for a little while. I don't have a time frame. It doesn't have a time. It just has a place. Secondly, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father God, I have run my life into the ground, and now I need your kingdom come, your will to be done in my relationship, your will to be done in my finances, your will to be done in my health, your will, not my will. I am tired of doing things my way. And also, God, your kingdom come like on the earth. Like I know I haven't done a lot of things, but I'm ready to go home. So if I could pray that you'll have the rapture like in the next 15 minutes, I'd have no problem with that whatsoever. And I spend a little time there. And then, give us day by day our daily bread. Father, you know what's going on in work. And sales, they've been slow. Employees need to be paid. And matter of fact, we need employees. Got my finances, I just lay them all out before you like a deck of cards. Day by day, our daily bread. God, first thing I want to do is I want to thank you that I don't even have to pray for daily bread because I got like a month's worth of bread in my house. If I don't go to Publix for the next month, I still got plenty of food. And a lot of people can't say that, God. So I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for that, God. And you know what? Now that I think about it, God, the Bible says that you are the bread of life. And more important than any of the other bread, man, just baptize me in your spirit. Just be the bread of life in me. You are my bread of life. Give me this day a double portion of your spirit, God. I don't even know, God. It's just like, make your life go through my life. You're the daily bread. Forgive us our sins. God, you know, yesterday was a rough day. I saw things that I shouldn't have saw, and I looked at them willingly. I said things I definitely shouldn't have said, and I said them openly. God, I coarsely jested. I said foul things. I thought ridiculous things. And God, I did some stuff trying to make a sale that I lied, God. I lied. And then I got so aggravated with my wife at dinner that I actually was like, man, I don't deserve this. I'm done with marriage. And, oh, God, why do you put up with me? I thank you so much, God, that your word says that if I confess my sin, that you are faithful to forgive me of my sin. I thank you so much, God, that you're, that it's not me that, you're not forgiving your sins because of me. You're forgiving your sins because of your son. And I just want to ask you, I want to ask you to remind me of the sins of my past. If there's stuff I did when I was like 12, 13, 14, 15, whatever, that I never haven't even confessed yet. God, I want to confess them all because I don't want to leave any sin unconfessed. God, so your word says that I can't hear you sometimes because I'm so cluttered with my own sin and that your ear is not stopped up and your arm's not too short. So God, would you just forgive me? Because there's nothing more important than hearing your voice. And then, as we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us or who has trespassed against us, God, there's such bitterness in my heart. Remember that guy in baseball camp that molested us? God, I hate that guy so much, and I'm tired of hating. I'm tired of bitterness, God. I'm letting him go today. That girl, that cousin, that father, that wife, that kid, whatever it is, God, I am tired of carrying around anger and bitterness towards so many people. And Lord, if you're not going to hold your anger against me, I'm not holding my anger against anybody. They're all today. I'm letting them out of my house. I'm opening the front door. I'm opening the door to the car. They're out. No more unforgiveness. I don't even care if they don't ask for forgiveness. I'm forgiving them anyway. I'm done with the bitter heart. It's cost me enough. It's made enough rage in me. It's made enough, yeah, everybody's done everybody wrong. And I'm tired of living with that anger. And do not lead us into temptation. Do not lead us into temptation. God, here's the truth, God. My flesh is so weak and my spirit is willing, so I need your supernatural help. God, the woman that would cause me to lust, I don't even want her to cross my path. The woman that I might cause to lust, God, please let us not even go in the same direction. God, I need your supernatural help. That the man who would cause me frustration and anger to violence, the business deal that looks so sweet, but I know it's gray, don't even let it ring on my phone. God, lead me away from every temptation by your supernatural help. Because I'm weak, I need you. But deliver us from the evil one. Now, this part of the scripture, guys, this part of the prayer is what I take now. And now for all of my children and grandchildren, including my in-laws, I have Bible verses that I pray over them. So I'll let you, for my son-in-law, Andrew, and my daughter, Arlie, I pray over them that they would be steadfast and immovable, abounding in the work of the Lord, that they would know that the labor is not in vain in the Lord. I pray over them that they would not grow weary while doing good, but they would reap in due season, not lose heart. I probably spend the bulk of my time in this prayer time praying for them, and I find it really hard because now it's like, man, I got to get to reading the Word. Time is short. My phone is pinging, pinging, pinging. Ryan, did this come in? Ryan, did that come? But I can't, man. I can't not do this. And the reason I know this is the most important part of the prayer is because this is where I get most distracted. Honey, I'm leaving. I'm taking the kids. Honey, I can't not do this. God, I lift up to my wife. I pray over her that she would not be anxious for anything. God, I pray over her that she'd be a fruitful vine in the midst of our home. God, I pray over her that every day her children would rise up and call her blessed. God, I pray every day I go through my family and I pray them. Because you know what the enemy hates? He hates to hear three words. It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. If you want your marriage saved, pray for it. And then, okay, you can turn the lights on now. And then when I'm finished with that, usually I read the Bible. Now, we're not studying that today, but I read a proverb, I read a psalm, I read the Old Testament, I read the New Testament. Now, as a pastor, a teaching pastor, I also read what I'm going to have to teach the next service. So that's where I spend my time. And then I look at my day and I go, okay, let's see. God gives me 24 hours in a day. Usually I'm up for about 15 of those hours. God asks me, according to the Old Testament, for 10% of my finances. I figure I got to give him at least 10% of my time. I've just spent about an hour, hour and a half, sometimes more in prayer and the Word. I did my minimal. I gave God about an hour and a half to 2 hours. And I think that I'm ready for my day now. And that's the story, Jerry. And that's where we're at. And if you neglect prayer, God's not going to, you know, hate you. But I don't want to be 2/3 of the people in this life that get divorced. I don't want to be 2/3 of the people in the church that get divorced. I want my kids to walk with the Lord all the days of their lives. And I want to be out in front of them. When the enemy's throwing something at their feet, I want to be trying to kick it out of the way. And if they go through a trial, it ain't going to be because I prayed for them. If I stumble, it won't be leading to a fall. The Bible says prayer in some form 300 and some odd times. I just read you a small portion of them. Engage the fight. Why? Let me say it for the last time and then we're done. You ready? For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in God. For pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Now, we're going to look at the next two chapters, that same, we're going to go over what we just did and the next chapter next week. And if you spend 5 minutes more in prayer this week than you did last week, believe me when I tell you, you'll know the power of prayer. Amen? Amen? Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for the opportunity that you give us to pray, to destroy all strongholds in our life, to repair the breaches. I thank you. I love that verse where your word says that I searched for someone who would stand in the gap. God, I pray for those in here that have the gift of intercession, that they would stand in the gap. And I pray for those that are here that don't have the gift of intercession, but they would be praying people. They would, as your word says, pray without ceasing. Lord, we lift up to you all the things in our lives that need your touch. Forgive us, God, that we're... Lord Jesus, may it not be said of us like you had to say to your apostles. What? You couldn't watch for 1 hour? Pray lest you enter into temptation. Please, God, fill us with a hunger to pray. Don't teach us by trial nor by fire. Teach us by good desire. We love you and we thank you for this calling. In Christ's name, amen. Amen, amen. Amen.